So the parsha that we read yesterday is a very sweet parsha. I were introduced to the man. And the man is really one of the most amazing things that ever existed. The man, the Ramban describes the man as ziv ha-shechina shenisgashim. Edible shechina. Whatever that means. That sounds like a good business. And I'll start packaging edible shechina. People sell like holy water from Israel. Right? I'll go on better. I'll sell you edible shechina. The man was amazing. The man was ziv ha-shechina shenisgashim. Whatever that means. I have no idea what that means. But it was an amazing food. There was no psolas. When a person ate the man, you didn't sweat. And the psukim describe later, and much later in the Chumash, that the Jews in the Midbar, their clothing didn't get worn out. So part of the reason is they had the shmira from the Anani HaKavod. But part of it also was, just as the Gemara in Yoma says that the man didn't cause a person to need to use the bathroom, right? So too, a person didn't perspire from the man. There was no sweat. There was nothing. It was the most amazing food that was totally absorbed within a person's body. And there's a lot of discussion about the nature of the man, the ability for the man to taste like anything that you wanted. Did a person even, I think we said the other day, does a person even feel full from eating the man? Right? A machlokas between the Netziv and his commentary on the Medrash Sifrei and the Chazon Ish, Narachayim Simin Chavches. Right? Did it leave you with like a bloated feeling? Or did it even, it was just so quickly absorbed into your body that it revived the person without any of the heaviness of eating? But obviously the most pashut and basic description of the man is what the Torah says in this week's parsha, and that is that the man was sweet. The man was sweet. Right? The man was sweet. It was like a piece of cake or a wafer that was fried in honey.
Zeppeli.
It was what?
I'm sure it's a
Zeppeli. What's a Zeppeli? I don't know. Sorry.
I
of course a Zeppeli.
It felt like churros. It felt like a nice churro.
Yeah, everyone has their own picture of like what the man was. What the man, you know.
French toast.
Sure. French toast.
Funnel cake.
What is it?
Funnel cake.
That sounds good. Right? But the pashtus is, it was some type of cake-like thing. Other parts of the Torah describe it as fried in oil, like more oily. Others describe it more sweet, like we read in this week's parsha. Bidvash. But the man was very sweet. And as if it wasn't sweet enough, right? Dvash being already such a sweet description. So the Gemara in Brachos says in Daftan Zayin Amud Beis that the man was in fact 60 times sweeter than honey. So as if honey wasn't sweet enough, the Gemara says, Chazal somehow, in their wisdom, they revealed to us that the man was sweeter than honey 60 times. 60 times over.
Yeah,
Dafka 60, right? 60 is often used as a way of saying that honey, what, right? I mean, a 60th of something. Maritz Chias writes this in Masechta Sota Daf Hey, that a 60th of something is what? Means that it's a mashu, it's something real of something. So it means if honey is a 60th of the man, it means as sweet as honey is, it's only like a little, you know, taste of what the man really was. Okay, but the man was infinitely sweeter and more pleasurable than honey, which again is probably the sweetest substance that man knows. But there's something, that's what I want to talk about, there's something that's even sweeter than, of course, honey, and even sweeter than the man, which was 60 times honey, and that is the Torah itself. Right? The Torah itself, David HaMelech says, is Mesukim Midvash V'Nofes Sufim. I want to think about that together for a few minutes. Right? What does it mean that the Torah is Mesukim Midvash V'Nofes Sufim? The Torah is even sweeter than honey. How does that impact the way that we learn Torah? How does that impact the way that we appreciate Torah even when we're not learning Torah? The Torah is sweeter than honey. The Torah is sweeter than the man, which is the Ziv HaShechina Shenisgashim. The Torah is even sweeter than Olam Haba, if you can imagine such a thing. Rav Elchanan Wasserman, in 1937, this is brought in the Hebrew biography of Rav Elchanan, the Or Elchanan, in Chelek Beis on page 35. Rav Aaron Sorsky brings an amazing story. So Rav Elchanan came to the basement in 1937, so Tafir Sadi Zayin. Picture what was going on in the world at that time. And the people were terrified. Understandably so. Hitler, Yimach Shemo, was gaining strength and power, and he had very evil plans for the Jewish people, and people were terrified. So Rav Elchanan got everyone together in the Beis Medrash in Baranovich. He said, I want to speak to people about what's going on. And he got everyone together, and he quoted an idea from the Gra. Now it's a Chazal, but the Gra used to emphasize this idea, that what? That anything that we experience in this world is a Dugma Shel Mala. What does that mean, a Dugma Shel Mala? It means that everything here is just a reflection of something on high. So Rav Elchanan said, if Hitler, Yimach Shemo, has come to power, if he's being empowered to act so evilly against the Jewish people, with such a vicious plot against the Jewish people, so we have to stop and pause for a second and realize that it's a reflection of a kitrug in Shemai, which is much greater than anything that Hitler, Yimach Shemo, is planning to do to us. And Rav Elchanan went on to say, it's not, I'm not saying that we shouldn't try to stop Hitler. We have to be practical and target, right, the source below. But we also, says Rav Elchanan, have to be very much aware, entirely cognizant of what's happening above. That Hitler Yimach Shemo Lamata is a reflection of a Kitrug in Shemayim. So instead of dealing with what? With the minor problem, so to speak, we also have to be aware and think about what's the major problem that's allowing this terrible thing to take place. And again, it's not for us, it's not for any one individual to say the Holocaust happened because of X, Y, or Z, but at least to be aware that something's going on in Shemayim. And not to get lost, so to speak, in the mushel down below. And to express this idea, Rav Elchanan said the following. He said, honey, for example, is the sweetest substance that we have. Right? So I have to ask myself, what is honey a reflection of above? So if honey is the sweetest thing of this world, then honey must be, says Rav Elchanan, a reflection of Olam Haba. Right? The sweetness of honey, the pleasure a person gets from a taste of honey, that delicious flavor must be a reflection of Olam Haba. But then Rav Elchanan said, but when David HaMelech says in Tehillim Perek Yutes that Torah is Mesukim Midvash, David HaMelech wasn't only saying that honey is sweeter, that Torah is sweeter than the honey Shalamata. David HaMelech was saying Mesukim Midvash that Torah is sweeter than the honey Shalmala. That means that Torah is even sweeter than Olam Haba. That's what Rav Elchanan said. You hear? That Torah is even sweeter. It's sweeter than honey. It's sweeter than the man. It's sweeter than Olam Haba. Everyone knows, and if you haven't heard this Lashon, you need to hear it, but it's a very famous Lashon, a Lashon from the Orach Chaim HaKadosh and Parshas Kisavo. Right, so this is a piece that Rav Waxman, I think, likes to read every year before Shavuos. V'samachtu b'chol ha-tov. Chazal say, Mishnah Pirkei Avos, the Gemara in Brachos, Ein tov el Torah. V'samachtu b'chol ha-tov. Rejoice with all the good. V'ein tov el Torah, says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Shem hayu b'nei adam margishin b'misikus v'arevus tov ha-torah. If a person understood how sweet Torah really is, that it's sweeter than Olam Haba itself, it's more pleasurable, whatever that means, than Olam Haba, like Rav Elchanan said, hayu mishtagaim u'mislatim acharel. A person would literally go meshuga, go out of your mind for Torah. And yet sometimes we come to the Beis Medrash and we're not tasting the sweetness of Torah. We're not going crazy for Torah. We're not abandoning, like the Orach Chaim HaKadosh goes on to say, we're not abandoning all of Olam Hazeh in order to throw it all away for Torah. Because we don't know how sweet Torah is. That's what David HaMelech is telling us. Mesukim Midvash, David HaMelech is saying, it's the sweetest thing in the world. It's just, I can't let go of it. I can't put it down. The Panovich Rav used to speak by Kol Nidre. And there was a story he would often tell about the Svas Emes. This story he told like numerous years. Panovich Rav would get up to speak, and it's interesting, you know, by Kol Nidre, what does one speak about? Panovich Rav spoke about the chashivas and the sweetness of Torah. And he says, the Svas Emes was a moyridika masman. It was a crazy masman, the Svas Emes. As a young person, he was raised by his grandfather, right, the first Ger Rebbe, the Chiddush Erim. And his grandfather, who obviously was no slouch in learning himself, right? But he was very concerned that the Svas Emes was out of control, that he Pasha wasn't sleeping. So he used to rebuke him, you need to go to sleep, right? The same way that we learned on Thursday that the Ishbitzer yelled at Rav Tzadok, you need to start eating. So the Chiddush Erim yelled at the Svas Emes, you need to start sleeping. You need to sleep. It's not normal. And Svas Emes was always, you know, he was always up later than he should have been. So one night the Chiddush Erim went to bed, woke up in the middle of the night, went to make sure the Svas Emes was in his bed, and needless to say, he wasn't in his bed. He goes into his study, into the Beis Medrash, and he sees the Svas Emes sleeping on a ladder. He's standing like on one of those ladders, but you know, like a big bookcase of Svarim, right? And he must have climbed up to get a sefer off the top shelf, and he fell asleep holding the sefer in his hand, leaning on the Svas Emes was standing there, sleeping halfway up the ladder. So Chiddush Erim goes over, and he wakes up, and he says, this is crazy. This is Mr. Kadosh Tafash, what are you doing? Right? And the Svas Emes said, the Torah is so sweet, how can I go to sleep? That's what he said. The Torah is so sweet, how can I can't stop. It's too sweet. I just can't stop. To the point that, you know, that a person comes to do crazy things. There's a certain excitement. I can't, okay, I fell asleep. Falling asleep and going to sleep are two different things. Sometimes we fall asleep. But to go to sleep, how can I go to sleep? How can I stop learning even for a second? As a madrig of the Svas Emes. I remember a couple years ago, I quoted in a shir from the Chuos Chaim. The Chuos Chaim was Rabbi Gedalia of Linitz, one of the early Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, one of the first Sifrei Chassidus, the Chuos Chaim. So someone heard this shir, and they liked that vart that I said from the Chuos Chaim, so they went to the Svar store, and they saw that they were selling the Sefer Chuos Chaim, so they bought the Chuos Chaim. And then they called me up, and they said, I made a mistake. I realized I bought the wrong Chuos Chaim. And the true os chen that I was quoting was Rabbi Gedalia of Linnet, true oat with an aleph. And this person went and he bought true os, like from Lashon Yeshua with an ayin, true os chen. So I said, okay. I said, is the sefer any good? So he tells me, he's like, well, there's this regular sefer, and in the back there's this separate kuntres. And the kuntres actually has, there was like a major printing error when they printed the kuntres. So I said, what's with the kuntres? So he says, every line, there's a printer's error, every single line of the sefer ends with an exclamation point. This whole kuntres, every single line ends with an exclamation. So I said, that was the wild thing. I said, that was worth it to buy that sefer. I said, imagine if we printed a chumash, right? Imagine if we printed a chumash where every line, every sentence, every pasuk ended with an exclamation point. Vayomer Hashem Vaydaber Elokim El Moshe Lemor. Exclamation point. Right? Wow, it's mind-boggling. Hashem spoke to Moshe. The truth is, it is mind-boggling. Hashem spoke to Moshe. God spoke to a human being. That's what Samachta B'chol Atol. That's this Meshugan, you know, state that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh is describing here. That's why the Sfasemis couldn't go to sleep. Because he understood that every single word of Torah, every single letter of Torah, is mamash exploding with the sweetness. And how does the Torah begin? It starts with Bereishis. So what's Rashi's opening question? Why not start with HaKadosh Zalachem? Matam Pasuk B'Bereishis. What do you need to spend time with all this Bereishis stuff? Quotes Rabbi Yitzchak, which some thought was Rashi's father. We know it's not. That's right. It's really, it's a Medrash, it's a Tana, Rabbi Yitzchak. But some say Rashi was quoting his father in that first Rashi. Again, it's not true. But it's an interesting idea that some Svarim discuss. But the Svarim HaKadoshim explain, different Tzaddikim explain, right? Don't read it as a question. Matam Pasuk B'Bereishis. Why did it start with Bereishis? Why not start HaKadosh Zalachem? So some of the Svarim read it, no. Read it B'Nichusa. Read it as a statement of fact. Matam Pasuk B'Bereishis. Right? Matam, how much flavor? Matam, there's so much. You want to go to HaKadosh Zalachem? HaKadosh Zalachem, you can spend your whole life on those three words. But we can't even get off the word Bereishis. Matam, there's so much taste to Bereishis. From the Bays of Bereishis to the Lamed of Leinei Kol Yisrael, every letter of Torah is mamish oozing, with a beautiful sweetness for us to experience. We have to look at it all equal. To put an exclamation point, not just after Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Put an exclamation point after every word of Torah, after every pasuk of Torah. Ramban writes in his drasha, Torah Hashem Tamima. Ramban says a person has to know this, and it's a very chashuv point. A person has to realize that the words Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad are not any more important or chashuv or real Torah, right? When the Torah tells us that Eliphaz, the son of Esav, had a pilegesh whose name was Timna. Like, why do I need to know that? Hashem, I had to put that in the Torah. I have to list all of the descendants of Yishmael. Like, that's Torah? You say that word of Torah and that's a kiyum and a mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Right? And the answer is yes. Right? That's what the Ramban writes in that drasha. That yes, we have to look at every word of Torah as being equally chashuv. Torah shebichsav, Torah shebaal peh. I saw a remez in the Maaser Rokeach on Chumash. Maaser Rokeach brings, he says that the gematria of the word matok, right? Matuk, sweet, 546. He says it's the same gematria as, it's 22, connected to the osios of Torah Shebichsav, the Chaf Beis osios, right? Plus Talmud Bavli. Talmud Bavli is 526, 524. Right, plus 22 being Rambis to the osios of Torah Shebichsav. So if you take all of Torah Shebichsav and all of Torah Shebaal Peh, Talmud Bavli plus 22 plus the Chaf Beis osios of Torah Shebichsav, you get the word matuk, you get the word matok, you get the word sweet. Why? Because kulam ahuvim, kulam kadoshim, kulam matukim. Right? Every word of it, it's chashuv from beginning to end. It's sweet as can be, and it's true about Torah Shebichsav. It's true about Torah Shebaal Peh. It's true about the words of the Rishonim. I saw the Sefer Chaim Sheyesh Behem al Torah. Tells a story that Rav Baruch Ber one time was giving shir. And in the middle of the shir, he was saying over a Rashba. And in his excitement, Rav Baruch Ber screams out, he says, do you realize that this Rashba is filled with such flavor? It's malei tam. And then Rav Baruch Ber paused. He said, you know what? I'm thinking about it. I want to take back what I said. So everyone's like, oh, he's gonna slug up the Rashba now, right? Rav Baruch Ber is about to, he like realized the problem with the Shitas HaRashba. So Rav Baruch Ber says, it's Elul. And in Elul, a person has to speak much more carefully. And I don't want you to get the impression that this Rashba is a very sweet Rashba, but the rest of Torah is not as sweet. Right? I want to take back what I said. I want to speak more carefully because it's Elul. I want to retract my words, and I want to share with everyone in the room that what? That all the words of Torah and all the words of Gemara and all the words of all the Rishonim are mamish sweet as can be. And I want people to know that. Right? We're not on Rav Baruch Ber's level, we're not on the Or HaChaim HaKadosh's level, but if a person understands that Torah is a very sweet thing, so then you can build yourself up. You can accomplish great things. How did Rav Nosson Tzvi build the biggest yeshiva in the world? How did Rav Nosson Tzvi, from the year 1990 to what, 2011, how did he build a yeshiva of 7,500 people? How did Mir grow? What was Rav Nosson Tzvi's message? If you asked him, sum up your entire message as Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva. What is your message? What would he say? He would say Torah sweet. That's what he would say. That's how you build the biggest yeshiva in the world. Right? They say that when bar mitzvah boys would come to Rav Nosson Tzvi, they get a bracha, and the Rosh Yeshiva would ask you a few questions. Right? Rav Nosson Tzvi would always take a bar mitzvah boy by the hand and he would say to him, he'd hold him by the hand, he'd look him in the eyes, and he'd say, do you know that the Torah is sweet? Do you realize that the Torah is sweet? Because that's the prerequisite to your success. I know you're here, you want to show off. Look, Rebbe, I memorized these Mishnayos, you can test me on this Gemara. Rav Nosson Tzvi said, but if you want to be part of Klai Yisrael, and you want to be Mekabel the Ol of Torah as a bar mitzvah boy, do you know that Torah is sweet? Do you know that? Do you believe that? Have you felt that? Have you experienced that? A couple years before he passed away, Rav Nosson Tzvi, Mir was opening branches all over the place. So in the Mir Brachfeld, the section of Mir, so one of the Rosh Yeshiva there told this story, that a few years before Rav Nosson Tzvi passed away, he came to speak by Mir Brachfeld before Shavuos. And there was a lot of excitement. Rosh Yeshiva was coming from Yerushalayim to come to speak. And he comes to the Beis Medrash. And again, Rav Nosson Tzvi was not pushed for him to speak, to walk, to be anywhere. And he overcame all of those nisyonos. And he gets up to speak. And his whole drasha consisted of three words. And he said it over and over and over. And people said it was like the best drasha, it was the best halchana for Shavuos they ever had. What did he say? What was his message? Right? Three words. Torah is zis. Torah is sweet. And he stood there, and he said it, and he said it, and he said it. And people left there, ready for Shavuos. They understood what it means to be Makabal the Torah. That's how you build the biggest yeshiva in the world, with a message of Torah is sweet. Right? Not Torah is... There's a million messages we could share about Torah, and they're all, again, they're all chashim. But a person who understands the sweetness of Torah, the Torah is sweeter than the man, the Torah is sweeter than Olam Haba, then a person can build himself up. And again, it's a unique type of sweetness. Because if you think about it, Rav Simcha Bunim points out, it's brought in the Kol Simcha in Parshas Nitzavim. Rav Simcha Bunim said that most things in this world, right, most foods in this world fall into one of two categories. Right? Things that a person has to put into his body. Either it's going to be something that's very sweet, but lav dafka is not good for you. Ice cream is delicious, but if a person tries to live off of ice cream, it would not be the healthiest diet. Right? And there are other things. Let's say a person's sick, and you have to take medicine, and you have to, you know, swallow all sorts of bitter pills, right? Bitter medicines. So it's very good for you, but it's not sweet. So Simcha Bunim said, in Parshas Nitzavim, Ki hu chayecha v'orech emecha. Torah is chayecha and it's orech emecha. What does that mean? It means it's pleasurable b'shas ma'isa. Torah is unique in that it's very sweet. It's the tastiest food in the world, so to speak. And at the same time, it's the healthiest food in the world. The Chavetz Chaim said, if a person were to take spoonful and spoonful of honey, right? The first spoonful is delicious. But like the fifth spoonful, you'd say, thanks but no thanks. Right? Torah is the opposite. Torah is the sweetest thing. It's mesukah midvash. It's sweeter than honey. And yet, the more you eat it, the more you want to eat it. It doesn't have that negative effect of a person feeling, I think I've had enough. You know, I'm getting nauseous. Right? Torah, just the opposite. The more a person connects to it, the sweeter it becomes. So how does a person experience this? I want to come back to the parsha again. What does it say in this week's, past week's parsha? I'll tell you an amazing var from Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky. Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky writes, it's in the Pnei Rabbeinu Yecheskel, volume 2, page 8, page 7 and 8. Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky says, this week's parsha, what happens? Klal Yisrael come to a place called Mar. They come to a place of bitter water. Ein Mayim El Torah. And sometimes a person is learning Torah. Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky says, I saw an Avdamashal Sefer Echad. He doesn't quote the Sefer. But I saw a Pshat. And he says, it's an Emesitik of Pshat. He says, not Pashat Pshat, but it's an Emesitik of Pshat. Vayavo Marasa. Klal Yisrael came to a place called Mara. Lif'amim kore shalom made ba lamatzim shal Marasa. Sometimes a person, I've heard the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, right? I went last year before Shua's here with Ephraim Wax to speak. I heard the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. I know Torah is sweet. I heard it. I even believe it. I don't think David HaMelech was lying in Tehillim Perek Yutes when he said, it's Mesukah Midvash. I don't think that David was lying to me. But I'm not experiencing that. Vayavol Marasa. A Jew comes to a bitter place. Velo Yachul Lishdos Mayim Mimara Ki Marimim. And a person can't consume the water in Mayim El Torah because the water has become bitter and a person feels frustrated. So what do you do? Rav Nosson Tzvi can scream it all day, Torah is Zis, but so what? How do I experience that? I'm not finding that to be true. My Chumash doesn't have an exclamation point after every pasuk. So how do I get there? So he says, what does the pasuk say? The Oreyu Hashem Eitz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, showed or taught Moshe about the Eitz. So he says, Eitz is Milashon Eitzah. The Oreyu Hashem Eitz, Hashem gives you the following Eitzah. The Oreyu Hashem Eitz, this is the Eitz of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the end of the pasuk? Vayashleich el amayim, v'yimtiku amayim. Vayashleich el amayim, v'yimtiku amayim. Shekasher yashlich atzmo legamri el amayim. You know why we sometimes don't experience the pleasure of Torah, the sweetness of Torah? Because we're milachutz. We're not in Torah. Right? We're having this casual relationship with Torah. We're not immersing ourselves in Torah. Vayashleich el amayim. Throw yourself into the mayim, in mayim el Torah, v'yimtiku amayim. Ozu divrei Torah ha-meshulim l'mayim esukim b'fif. Then Torah becomes sweet. It's pasha, we've all been there, right? Your friends are swimming in the water. Everyone's in the water having a good time. You just come down, you got your towel over your shoulders, right? And you like dip your little toe into the water. And you say, that's it, I'm not getting in, it's freezing. Your friend's like, no, it's great, the water's warm, it's fun, jump in, right? No, it's machlokas. Right? You said, I felt the water myself, I know the water is cold. And your friend's like, no, it's very warm. So what, the water by the edge of the pool is cold and the water in the middle of the pool is warm, what's the pshat? Right? The answer is Vayashleich el amayim v'yimtiku amayim. Get in the water, swim around, and you'll see the water is great. Right? But if you're only going to have this chitzoni relationship with it, says Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, then of course the water is not going to be sweet. You're on the outside. You're not experiencing. You're not tasting it. You're not immersing yourself in it. I want to read you a lashon from Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Mishnah Sirbi Aaron. Okay, promise from Rabbi Aaron Kotler. Rabbi Aaron Kotler writes in Mishnah Sirbi Aaron, it's in volume 1 on page 71. The chol mashe makabel lav yoser ola Torah, the more a person takes upon himself the yoke of Torah, the more you immerse yourself in the water, v'rotze yoser lahavin uleida, because you say, even though the water right now is a little bit bitter, and I don't understand this sugya, and I don't understand this rashba, and I'm sitting here for the last 2 hours of morning seder trying to make sense of something that I don't know how to read, and I'm feeling frustrated, right? It says Rabbi Aaron Kotler, but you keep pushing ahead, you're amel, and you recabble the burden, the yoke of Torah. The more a person does that, imkein harei margish yoser ba'arevas haTorah. The Rav Kotler is saying an interesting thing. He's saying that there's a direct link between what? Between how much a person immerses himself in Torah and how sweet the Torah will become. The more the Torah, the more you're willing to burden yourself with Torah, it's a little bit counterintuitive. The more that you make Torah, you take upon yourself a burden of Torah, which you think would just lead to more frustration. Rav Kotler says the opposite. Because the more v'yashleich el amayim, v'yimtiku amayim. Rav Avraham Shor writes in Alakach Balibov, one of the vines, I don't remember where it is, he says, the gematria of the word amelis is 546, is the same gematria as the word matok, sweet. Because hava hatalia, it's mamash one and the same. If you're willing to work at it, if you're willing to immerse yourself in it, if you're willing to push ahead, v'yashleich el amayim, v'yimtiku amayim. But a person who's not willing to work at it, and a person who comes with a laziness to shiur, or a laziness to seder, a person who's not willing to immerse himself fully, is not going to experience the sweetness of Torah. And then you wonder, what was David HaMelech talking about? What were Chazal talking about? What was Rav Elchanan Wasserman talking about in 1937? What was he talking about when he said that Torah is sweeter than Olam Haba? What did he mean by that? I'll tell you just one other vote that I was thinking about by the Masops. In Parshas Maaseh, it describes the 42 stops when Yisrael travel. So the Svarim HaKadoshim talk about how everyone has to go through those 42 stops in their life. And the same way Avram had 10 tests, the Mori Naim says everyone has 10 nisyonos in their life. Can I get Avram's 10 nisyonos to figure out, like, which nisayon? Right? Like, oh yeah, that was probably my 5th nisayon. That was really hard. And my Kedas Yitzchak is still, like, coming up. Right? Okay, the person has to make a cheshbon. The same thing is true. The 42 stops that Klai Yisrael traveled in the Midbar is something, myself was in Lebanon, right, like Chazal say, it's something that everyone experiences. So I was thinking a couple of years back, one of those places they travel, it says, Vayisu mitarach v'yachanu b'miska. Okay, again, one of these people are like, okay, shkoyach. They were in a place called Tarach, with a taf resh ches, and then they came to a place called Miska, shkoyach. So I was thinking, hold on, Tarach with a taf is not the same as Tarach, like Tircha with a tes, right? But very often, Rav Hirsch talks about how words that sound alike actually are rooted in the same meaning. So I happened to be in a Beis Medrash that had Rav Matisyahu Clark's etymological dictionary of, like, Rav Hirsch phrases, that funky book. So I pulled it out, I wanted to see, what does Tarach with a Taf actually mean? So, I mean, I know what I mean, I can look in the article Chumash to see what it means. Right? Tarach means to be, the term Tarach means to be unsettled. It's a certain frustration. And he says yes, that tarach with a tough is related to tarach with a tes. Right? Because when a person is burdened, you feel unsettled, you have a lack of menuchas nefesh, you're feeling frustrated. So I was thinking, that's the pshat of this pasuk. Right? The Chiddush Rebbe used to also, he darshened up all the masos to try to learn a lesson from it. Vayisu mitarach vayachanu b'miska. Vayisu mitarach, a person's traveling to a place, from a place called tarach, he's from a place where he's unsettled, and things are wavering, right? And nothing is the way that you want it to be. But eventually, if a person is willing to go to that place, to work in that place called tarach, with the tircha, then what happens? Vayachanu b'miska. Then you come to a place called miska, you come to the sweetness of tarach. Amelis is gematria matok. Because again, to whatever degree a person immerses himself in it, when you're in it, there's no questions. When you're immersed in it, there's no questions. A Gerd Tzedek once came to the Maharal of Prague. It's a great story. A Gerd Tzedek came to the Maharal of Prague. He was in the middle of his conversion process. And he said, I don't get tevila. I don't get this whole mikvah thing. Right? It doesn't make any sense. You're telling me I go in the water and I come out and now I'm Jewish? Right? Like I took a bath last week and that didn't make me Jewish. But now I'm going to go into this pool of rainwater. And I'm going to come out a newly created individual. I don't get it. And I'm not doing it. I really want to convert, but I'm not doing the tefillah thing. So I said, listen, you know, there's explanations for this. So he says, fine, so if you explain it to me, then I'll do it. So I said, that's not how things work in Judaism. If you're coming into Yiddishkeit, that you're only going to do things you understand, you're making a terrible mistake. Nasa v'nishma. We do it, and then nishma, then we understand it. So Maharal says, I'll make a deal with you. I can explain to you tefillah. This guy was like a very rational guy. I can explain to you in rational terms. Right? Not even with mystical terms. I can explain to you very logically in a way that you would appreciate the chashivas of tefillah b'mikvah. But he said, you got to go first. You got to go first. Nasa v'nishma. First go. And when you come out, we'll sit down, we'll have a session, and I'll explain the whole thing to you. No? So the ger goes into the mikvah. He comes out of the water. The Maharal says, okay, come, let's go sit in the base measure. The ger says, you don't have to explain anything. I got it. Because when you're in it, it's a true story. When you're in it, right, there's no questions. When you're mibachus and you're putting your toe in the water and you say the water's cold and your friends are saying, come on, jump in, swim around. Right? But once you're in it, once the ger tzedek went into the water, he had no questions. He understood what the point of tefillah is. He understood how it works. So the first halacha in Hilchos Mikvos, in your day of Reish Aleph, the first halacha is, let's say you have 40 sa of water, but you have it in a room this big, right? So the water is like this deep. It's like half an inch deep. Right? Oh, so it's 40 sa. So can you be tovel in that? What's the halacha? Shulchan Aruch, your day of Reish Aleph. Sif Aleph, what's the halacha? Doesn't work. Why? Because the halacha is that the 40 sa of water doesn't have to be exactly the dimensions the Gemara says, right? The amal, that amal. But it has to be contained enough that what? That you can enter into it. If you can't immerse yourself in it, then it can't work for you. And it's the same thing by Torah. To experience Torah, a person has to be able to immerse himself fully in Torah. That's the key to extracting the sweetness of Torah. To be able to experience it with your entire guf. The birchas haTorah, the bracha we make on Torah, right, it's a big discussion. What type of bracha is that? Is it a birchas haMitzvah? Is it a birchas haShevach? And the Stipler has a famous piece in the Kilos Yaakov and Brachos and Simin Chav Beis where he develops, again it's based on Rishonim, but he wants to suggest that birchas haTorah is a birchas haNanin. Birchas haNanin. The same way when you're about to enjoy a bowl of ice cream, you make a bracha, right? Because Asr Le'anos Be'olam Hazeh below bracha, Gemara and Brachos Lamed Hei. So too, if you want to enjoy Torah, you have to make a birchas haNanin. Yeah? So I'll tell you something I was thinking. There's a Gemara in Psachim Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara says you only make a bracha on the light, on fire, on Motzei Shabbos. So Tosos over there, right? Tosos Psachim Nun Gimel Amud Beis asks the following question. Why don't I make a bracha every time I turn on the light? I walk into a dark room. Right? Friday night I was looking for a safer in my basement. The lights were off. It was very annoying. It was frustrating. So when a person has the ability to walk into a room that's dark, and you turn on the light, and you're nene from the or, so why don't you make a bracha? That's Tosos' question. Psachim nun gimel beis. Asr le'anos me'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. That's the Gemara's call from Brachos Daf Lamed Hei. So how is it that a person enjoys light and doesn't make a bracha on light? Why don't you make a bracha on light? Why only on Motzei Shabbos do you make a special bracha on light? What's Tosos' answer? Tosos says, because birchas hananin is only recited on something what? That the guf experiences. Right? And light is not something that the guf experiences. And Tosos says, you make a bracha every day on the sun. Right? Okay, it's because the sun renews itself. But Tosos sets out a klal that the definition of a birchas hananin has to be something that the guf experiences, the entire body experiences. Light is not something that you feel in your guf per se. It's useful, it's helpful, it helps you to, right? But your guf doesn't get a hanah from it. So I was thinking, according to the stipler, the Birchas HaTorah is a Birchas HaNanim. Right? And using this klal from Tosfos, from Sachem, Neb Gimel, Beis, that Birchas HaNanim has to be something that your entire guf enjoys. So now we understand, in order to make Birchas HaTorah in the morning, we have to immerse ourselves in learning in such a way that our body enjoys it. If our body is not going to be nana from it, then we don't have a right to make a Birchas HaTorah. That's part of the definition of Limud Torah, is that the body enjoys it. It's a full body experience. Another mashal of Baal Shem Tov, right? The deaf guy by the wedding. Imagine going to a chasna, right? Imagine a deaf person by a chasna. And he sees grown men holding hands, running in circles, right? And he sees people just jumping around. And he's wondering, what is everyone going crazy about? Nebuch, right? He can't hear the music. He can't hear the music, so he's mibachutz. So he's standing on the side. He doesn't understand what's causing all these bodies to move. Right? Because he's not involved in it. He's not immersed in it. He can't feel it. His body can't hear the music by the chasna. Baal Shem Tov gave that as a mashal, as a person who doesn't appreciate Pnimiyas HaTorah, standing on the side looking, saying, what is this? Right? Because you're not hearing the music of Torah. But again, it's the same yesod. That a person whose guf is not being moved by Torah, he's not being nana from Torah, that he's missing out an essential component. He's missing out on the whole nature of Birchas HaTorah. So I'll just be Messiah with a bracha for all of us. A bracha of Birchas HaTorah. What do we say in Birchas HaTorah? V'harevna. Part of the matbeya shel bracha is what? That Torah should be sweet. We all said it this morning. That Torah should be sweet. If we include that in the bracha, if that's part of the nusach of the bracha, that means it's an integral part of the learning of the process of Talmud Torah, Limud Torah. Anything that's part of a bracha, right, is part of the mitzvah. How do you know that? Where do we know that from? What's the mitzvah by lighting the menorah? Halakos a mitzvah or hanachos a mitzvah? Gemara is the discussion in Misach HaShabbos in the second parah. Halakha is the mitzvah, right? The lighting is the mitzvah. How does the Gemara solve that in Shabbos Chaf Gimel? How did the Gemara solve that question? You know what the Gemara did? The Gemara said, well, let's look at the text of the bracha. Whatever bracha was chazal or koveya, that must be an indication of what the nature of the bracha is. That's how the Gemara solves the question. So since we make the bracha, lahadlik ner, shal Chanukah, Chanukah. Lahadlik ner Chanukah, okay. Well, Judas, so. Okay, Lahadlik Ner Chanukah. I think the Gemara actually has Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. Yeah. I think so, I'm pretty sure. But okay, the Arizal felt strongly otherwise. Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, Chanukah. But the point is, it says Lahadlik, right? So Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes in his Perash of Pirkei Avos, so if Vaharevna is part of Birchas HaTorah, if those words are part of the Matbeah Shel Bracha, that means it's an integral part of the learning process. It's not like something extra. It's certainly not something bad. That's what the Egel Tal famously wrote in the Zakdama. Right? That some people think if you enjoy learning, then it's not Lishma. It's not true. The more you enjoy it, the more Lishma it is. It's part of the process. It's part of the Matbeah Shel Bracha. It's something that a person's supposed to do. So Mir Tashem, we should all be Zocha to experience the sweetness of Torah. It's not nothing we said here is an exaggeration. David Malach wasn't lying when he said Mesukah Midvash. Right, and Rav Chana Wasserman wasn't lying to us. He wasn't trying to get us into it by saying that what? That Torah is sweeter than Olam Haba. It's sweeter than the Dugma Shel Mala of honey. Right? These tzaddikim weren't lying to us. They're telling us something very literal. Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein, the author of Torah Tamimah, is Makor Baruch, which is like a very interesting sefer. So in the first section, in the first volume, he has recollections of his family. So he says, I heard from my grandfather. He says that even though Chazal exaggerates sometimes, the Gemara says that sometimes Dibru Chachavim Lashon Guzma, that the sages speak in an exaggerated fashion. They were in Chulin, the Gemara in Maseches Tamid, right? But when the Chazal say on the Pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Im Yitein Ish as Kol Hon Beiso Ba'ava, if a person would give away everything that he has, Ba'ava, for love, you would trade away everything for love, says Chazal, Ba'ava Shel Torah, right? What love are we talking about? The Chazal say in the Medrash, a person who would trade everything for the love of Torah. So the Baal Torah Tamimah says, my grandfather used to tell me, Eino lashon guzma klal ki impashtus gemura. He says, that's not an exaggeration. It's not like saying Torah is so great you would trade everything. A person who really understands Torah would trade everything in the world for Torah. It is the sweetest thing in the world. So Mir Tzashem, we should all be Zocha to take these words to heart in a very literal sense. To learn not only from the man of this week's parasha, which was sweet, right? But the Torah, which is so much sweeter, the Torah, which by Ashleich Elamayim, V'yimtuku Elamayim, the more a person throws himself into it, the more sweetness will extract. And Mirtz Hashem, we should all be Zocha to feel that in our lives. Amen. Okay.